More than a third of all the food produced in the world each year never gets eaten.
If we were to reduce the amount of food waste by just a quarter, that would be enough alone to feed all of the people who currently suffer from chronic hunger.
That's not some small number. We're talking about 870 million people. If global food waste was a country, its carbon emissions would rank third behind China and the U.S., according to UN data.
I don't love when you waste your food. We make way more than we consume. Sobbing kids don't get to choose when they go to bed hungry.
From cooking with trash to factories powered by leftover food, we explore some creative ideas for tackling the global problem of food waste.
I don't love when you waste your food.
This is the future of everything. A look ahead from the Wall Street Journal.
From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong, and this is the future of everything.
Look, I don't like the idea of being an advocate. You know, I shrink from, you know, even the appearance of a hashtag upsets me.
Anthony Bourdain is one of the world's best-known TV chefs. He's also the executive producer behind a new film called Wasted. If that perked your ear, it's a documentary about food waste. True to form, he kicks it off saying he hated the whole idea of doing this movie.
But as a culinary student, as a young cook, I came up in an old-school system that abhorred waste as a fundamental principle, meaning the whole enterprise was based on the idea of use everything.
Perhaps 40% of all food produced in the United States gets thrown out, and all that waste adds up to be the number one thing in our landfills. There, it goes on to produce very large quantities of the potent greenhouse gas, methane. Bourdain and his co-directors are out to change that.
Jennifer Strong, hi. This is Anna Chai and Nari Kai.
Hello.
Kai produces and often appears on Bourdain's TV shows. She's spent her career surrounded by great chefs.
The thing that we saw over and over again was how enraged they got about wasting food from their kitchens and their lives. So we kind of decided that we needed to do something about food waste and chefs.
Don't expect gloom and doom. These women are hopeful.
We used to joke about the movie Back to the Future.
Anna Chai.
And like at the end of the movie, Doc comes back and he's got the DeLorean. He's like, we need fuel. And like, it's a Mr. Fusion. And he's like digging up like banana peels and leftover beer. And that's how he's powering the car. Basically, that technology is happening now in the future.
Like Anna said, it's like we are in the future. We are living in the future now.
Nari Kai.
You know, with all the great things happening with technology and all these innovative companies, there are so many awesome solutions.
Companies like the British beer maker Toast, which produces its products from leftover bread that would otherwise be wasted. Plus, there are ways to use food waste besides consuming it.
One of the stories that we highlighted was General Mills Yoplait Yogurt Factory in Tennessee, where they are taking the whey from Greek yogurt and through anaerobic digestion are basically turning that waste back into electricity.
There's a saying, all things old become new again, and it also applies here. People used to raise pigs because they eat anything, and eventually you eat them. This can be especially handy on an island. Japan is experimenting with pigs as a way to tackle their food waste problem.
There was a law that passed that insisted that instead of importing corn and soy, that they needed to start using food waste. So the Japanese have gotten pretty creative about this and experimenting with like what different pigs could eat and how that might affect the flavor of the meat. So now you have pigs eating tuna scraps, or pigs eating only pineapple scraps, or pigs eating the leftover rice from like the sake process. And so it's pretty cool because they are, you know, taking this idea and really running with it and creating all this like super delicious, super unique flavors of pork. And again, circling back with the chefs, this is exactly what they want, an ingredient that nobody else has, or to create a taste that, you know, no one else can do.
But there's also the question of how to change consumer behavior. Kai points out in South Korea, separating food waste from trash is the law.
They decided that they were no longer going to throw their garbage into the ocean. Thank you, Korea, for pledging to do that. So they had to figure out what they were going to do with all the food waste.
The solution they came up with is a system of RFID waste bins.
Apartment buildings have automated trash cans that weigh the garbage that each household produces. So every time you take out your food waste, you have to swipe a card that's RFID activated. It's an automatic bin, very futuristic, very clean, and it weighs exactly how much you put into the garbage. And at the end of the month, just like an electricity bill, you get a food waste bill. And this has been incredibly successful, and they have almost completely eliminated food waste from entering landfills. They take that food waste and they turn it into compost or to fertilizer or biogas.
They believe Americans will also want to take action, but first, they have to know there's a problem. I head to the farmer's market, or as we say here in New York City, the green market.
My name is Mads Refflund. I'm a Danish chef based in New York, and right now I'm sitting on Union Square in the park and talking with you.
He's a co-founder of Noma, often called one of the best restaurants in the world. Noma helped normalize the term trash cooking among folks in the food world.
So I don't see it as trash. I just see it as another way of finding opportunities to use everything. And for us in the restaurant, or everywhere, where, you know, when you buy things and you throw something out, you lose money. So we are in a way in a commercial for trash.
His cookbook is called Scraps, Wilt, and Weeds, Turning Wasted Food into Plenty. He says writing it was an adventure.
When I look back at it, I can see on the right side of the table, that's all the things we normally would eat. and then I had left over with all the scraps and all this. This is what I want to eat. So the things I'm using in the book is cabbage and it's juice pulp and it's things we are using normally, but we are throwing half of it away because you don't know how to cook it because it takes a little bit longer. Not because you have to stand with your hands into it, but you maybe have to be in a dehydrator, in a freezer, or you have to cure it, or it takes a little longer before you can actually eat it. The thing with the modern world right now, we don't think we have time for it. If you have to start something 2 days before, you actually have to eat it. You just have to think differently.
While chefs may see putting food in the trash as throwing out money, American consumers may not make the connection. A recent study by the nonprofit NRDC suggests the average family throws out about $2,200 of food each year. That's up a full 50% from 1990.
My name is Michael Sheldrick, and I head up Global Policy and Advocacy at Global Citizen.
His organization puts together star-studded concerts as a way to raise awareness about serious policy issues. Food waste is one of them.
The amount of water that gets used to grow food that ends up being wasted would be enough to contribute to the water needs of 9 billion people, which the UN says is roughly going to be a world's population by the year 2050. So by addressing food wastage, we're not just addressing an environmental issue, we're not just addressing hunger, but we're also addressing water scarcity as well. And I don't need to tell you all of the statistics reports that have been issued by the UN that look at potential conflicts over the issue of water scarcity.
Global Citizen is responsible for that food waste remake of the Ed Sheeran song at the top of the show. Sheeran performs at some of their concerts and is a friend of the organization. The nonprofit is putting this issue front and center at a concert this summer around the G20 summit in Germany, mixing performances by Coldplay, Shakira, Ellie Goulding, and Pharrell Williams with speeches by global leaders and the World Food Program. Few people know this issue better than Dan Barber. He was among the very first American chefs to take food waste on in a public way. And so our next stop is his farm in upstate New York, Stone Barns. The farm is open to the public for picnics, hiking, and self-guided tours. Barber wants people to see where food comes from.
My name is Dan Barber. I'm the chef and co-owner of Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Stone Barns. I give myself a B+. What I'm doing very well is talking about it and wearing it on my sleeve. So I'm in some ways a very good marketer of an idea that chefs are just coming around to realizing that people care about and will reward you for.
Last year, Eater magazine named Blue Hill the best restaurant in America. Barber shows us around the kitchen.
We're working on this side with the colder items. That's where the salads and cold vegetables happen. This is the fish line, so there's fish being prepped and vegetables and sauces. And then the meat line is where meats get braised and roasted. And then over here in the corner is a station that's devoted to snacks and small bites at the beginning of the meal. We often have 20 or so snacks at the beginning of the meal with finger food, and that comes off of that station.
It may also be America's only restaurant kitchen where things like zucchini stalks, common field clover, cow colostrum, smoked fish bones, and pine tree fronds all seem perfectly in place. Animal bones also get a lot of mileage in this kitchen. Here, they're in a soup pot.
And we take the bones and, you know, you throw them away, but you have this beautiful soup. Well, what if you took the bones and carbonized the bones and made them into charcoal?
He motions for me to follow him outside.
See, that charcoal mixed in, a third of that charcoal is from bone. It's a carbonizer, so we make it very hot in here. It doesn't ignite. Take bone and make it into a fuel. I don't know what we're doing with the tuna head. Still trying to figure that out.
Our next and final stop on this tour, London, to visit a man voted the world's best chef, but who increasingly gives his time to feeding people in need.
Hi, everybody. I'm Massimo Bottura. I'm the chef of Osteria Francescana in Modena, like 3-star Michelin, blah, blah, blah.
Bottura and his wife founded the nonprofit Food for Soul. The goal is to fight food waste by creating restaurant-quality meals for people who are hungry. They're opening what are essentially glamorous soup kitchens all over the world that look like 5-star restaurants called Refettorio. This one opened just days ago.
We are fighting the waste and cooking with people think it's waste. And for us, it's just ordinary ingredients.
At 9 a.m., trucks start showing up with donations of food from restaurants and grocery stores that would otherwise go to waste. Professional chefs take turns volunteering to run the kitchen.
So for one day, the chefs, they transform themselves into grandmothers, you know, this idea of not throwing away anything.
The project started in Milan, then went to Brazil.
The mayor of Rio de Janeiro sent me a message saying, Massimo, I'm your biggest fan. I want your project here in Rio for the Olympics. I said, immediately, why not? Fighting all the waste of Rio de Janeiro of the Olympics, because it was unbelievable. After Rio, we opened Bologna, Modena, and now London.
Each town brought new opportunities to learn and grow. In some places, this project sees large numbers of migrants displaced from places such as Libya and Syria. In Modena, he says he goes way back with some of the people who come in seeking a meal, and it can be a bit uncomfortable. But the reaction so far in London is pure excitement.
They were asking me, pasta, pasta, we want pasta. I said, okay, of course, I'm Italian, I'm going to cook pasta as a main course. You know, I need pine nuts for the pesto, and I didn't have it. So we grated the bread that arrived 2 days before. We toasted a little bit to get very hard. And then we add at the pesto. Came out a delicious, amazing, velvety sauce. From now on, I'm going to make the pesto like this. I'm telling you. Because, first of all, it's cheaper. Second, it's much lighter. They loved it. We cooked like 10 kilos of pasta. Gone.
The volunteer chef on the day we visit is Claire Smith, a protege of celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay and the only female chef in the UK to earn 3 Michelin stars.
There should be no food waste in our culture, especially when people are hungry. It's something that us as chefs are hugely passionate about anyway, food waste in our own kitchens, because it's something that we love.
She says she has an abundance of donated food to work with that's nutritious and seasonal, and would otherwise be tossed out.
It's absolutely ludicrous to think that's happened in our society. So, and we can use us as chefs to get that awareness, also show what we can do with this food.
This is how she describes the space.
We have these wonderful long dining tables, and actually all the chairs and stuff could be in any high-end furniture store. There's a stage with couches on it, with a television. We've got laptops for internet for people to use. Come and have a meal and watch a movie afterwards, or use the internet to search for jobs or touch base with friends or whatever. And it's just a really workable community space
While we're there, a truckload of organic chickens are delivered from one of Britain's big grocery stores.
The fridge is full of great stuff. We have eggs, we have British strawberries at this time of the year, abundance of produce, Parma ham, like really good ingredients. So it really isn't too difficult to come up with a menu. So today we're doing a leek and potato soup with poached eggs and prosciutto and parmesan. That was Massimo that brought the parmesan though. And we have roast chicken with roasted root vegetables and an strawberry mess with strawberry sorbet for dessert.
The next stop for this project, poor neighborhoods in the United States. Botura is scouting locations and plans to open the first next year. The Future of Everything is a production of The Wall Street Journal. John Wurdock is the executive producer of WSJ Podcasts. Stan Parrish is the editor-in-chief of The Future of Everything. We had help with this episode from The Wall Street Journal's Nikki Blazina, Parminder Barra, George Downs, Mike Miller, Jennifer Hicks, Larry Root, Tanya Bustos, and Charlie Turner. If you like what you hear, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Jennifer Strong in the newsroom in New York.
Isn't the best place to save the planet, so the restaurant's where I go. Me and my friends at the table talking stats about food waste in the world. I saw my dream woman at the bar throw half a meal out and my jaw hit the floor. She's perfect in every way, but if she wastes, it's a deal breaker for sure. Now I'm singing like, girl, did you know how much food in the world gets wasted? 1.3 billion tons of food from stores, restaurants, homes, and companies. Boy, boy, you talk too much. 1 in 9 people on earth go hungry. You should take a doggy bag, please. You should take a doggy bag, please. I don't love when you waste your food. We make way more than we consume. Starving kids don't get to choose when they go to bed hungry. At the grocery and aisle two, I always buy all the ugly fruit, 'cause you know that it still tastes like it's brand new, and it's good for your country. I don't love when you waste your food. One weekend we let the story begin, follow you home for our first date. I've made you a flowchart about how you can get smart about your personal food waste. I talk for hours and hours about how you have the power to ignore some expiration date. And if your fridge is too cold, then food can grow old a little faster than you'd like. And I'm singing like, girl, did you know how much food thrown away by restaurants is landfill bound? Hurts the environment now. Why'd you throw half of your burger out? Boy, you talk too much. 1 in 9 people on earth go hungry. I think you gotta leave. I think you gotta leave. I don't love when you waste your food. We make way more than we consume. Starving kids don't get to choose when they go to bed hungry. Why don't we call it the EU? Petition them for new policies too. 1 in 4 calories don't get consumed, and no one should go hungry. I don't love when you waste your food. I don't love when you waste your food.
Love this show? Check out others by visiting wsj.com/podcasts. See our full selection under programs. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.